On April 2nd, 2024, several cars are driving to render aid with food for those in the Gaza Strip dealing with starvation. Without notice, the vehicles were destroyed, killing all of the occupants. It was an event that shook the world to its core. Israeli military missiles found their target not on enemy grounds, but on this convoy led by the renowned World Central Kitchen. This devastating attack sparked an international outrage and raised profound questions about the cost of conflict and the safety of aid workers. Welcome to That's Life, I Swear. This podcast is about life's happenings in this world that conjure up such words as intriguing, frightening, life-changing, and more. I'm Rick Barron, your host. That said, here's the rest of this story. The tragic attack on the World Central Kitchen was no isolated event. When the Israeli military launched missiles at a humanitarian convoy operated by the renowned international charity World Central Kitchen, the horrific incident resulted in the deaths of 7 aid workers, most of them foreign nationals. This brazen attack sent shockwaves across the globe. Although Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described it as an unintentional tragic case, what struck me was his cavalier, empathetic condolence remarks when he said, "This happens in wartime." Aid workers worldwide courageously carry out their missions in conflict zones under dangerous conditions. Over the years, aid workers who have put their lives on the line have died in such places as Somalia, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and most recently, in Ukraine. A crucial component in what is called the deconfliction process is that it aids organizations continuously coordinate with relevant military forces, notifying them of their movements and locations to avoid being targeted. Now, the World Central Kitchen confirmed its personnel were traveling to a deconflicted area in 2 armored vehicles and a 3rd marked car when the missile struck their convoy. Film footage depicted 1 vehicle with a massive hole punctured through its roof. The charity's prominent logo, clearly on the roof of the car, offered no protection. Aaron Gore, the organization's CEO, condemned the attack as unforgivable, a blatant violation of the principles meant to shield humanitarian workers. So what happened to the aid workers in Gaza? In a tragic turn of events, World Central Kitchen aid workers found themselves in the crossfire as they departed a warehouse in Gaza, traveling in 2 armored vehicles clearly identified with their distinctive logo. Despite meticulous coordination with the Israeli Defense Forces, the convoy fell victim to devastating airstrikes, as disclosed by the nonprofit in a recent press release. A succession of critical mistakes led the Israeli troops to mistakenly open fire on the humanitarian convoy, the military's preliminary inquiry findings revealed. The drone footage, as per the inquiry, failed to capture the organization's logo in the darkness. Some officers neglected to reveal documentation indicating the convoy included civilian vehicles, and a drone operator had incorrectly identified an aid worker like carrying a bag as an armed member of a Palestinian group displaying a gun. The 7 aid workers had arrived in northern Gaza earlier that Monday to assist in delivering over 100 tons of food aid, according to the World Central Kitchen. Their trucks departed around 9 p.m., heading southward towards the group's warehouse, the Israeli military stated. Additional cars joined the convoy of trucks along the coastal road, per the military reports. Shortly after, a gunman appeared to fire a single round from the roof of one of the trucks, according to an Israeli military officer overseeing the military's investigations into potential cases of wartime misconduct. The drone operator and their commanding officers were unaware that the additional cars were part of the approved humanitarian convoy and wrongly assumed that they were transporting armed Palestinians, the Israeli officials explained. When questioned about why the soldiers lacked this information, the military officer stated that certain officers had failed to consult the coordination documentation. "No excuses," the officer said, acknowledging the communication failure. The heart-wrenching toll of the attack reverberated across continents as the bombing claimed the lives of 7 aid workers hailing from Australia, Poland, the United Kingdom, and Palestine, including 1 individual holding dual citizenship in the United States and Canada. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron confirmed the loss of three British nationals in a poignant message shared with the world. The stark reality of working in Gaza during wartime was articulated by Jamie McCordrick, the interim UN humanitarian coordinator for the occupied Palestinian territory, who, through a press release, described the region's transformation into one of the world's most dangerous and challenging environments. Since hostilities escalated on October the 7th, a staggering 203 aid workers have perished, according to the Aid Worker Securities Database, Grim Global Tallies. This toll tragically eclipsed the yearly averages of aid worker fatalities worldwide, underscoring the risks confronting those endeavoring to alleviate suffering amidst the crucible of warfare. Sadly, most likely the 203 aid workers who have died thus far will continue to climb. The World Central Kitchen Organization has called on Australia, Canada, the United States, Poland, and the United Kingdom to join it in demanding an independent investigation to determine whether the attack was intentional or violated international law. In a statement released from the World Central Kitchen CEO, Erin Gore, she expressed profound dismay, asserting that this is not only an attack against the World Central Kitchen Organization, this is an attack on humanitarian organizations showing up in the most dire of situations where food is being used as a weapon of war. The renowned chef Jose Andreas, founder of the humanitarian organization, vehemently dismissed the Israeli Prime Minister's claim that the devastating strike on the convoy was an accident. When speaking with correspondents, Jose stated, and I quote, "This tragic occurrence cannot be brushed aside as mere misfortune or a wayward bomb drop. The precision and the sequence of the strikes suggest a deliberate attack." Although Israeli authorities pledged an internal probe, World Central Kitchen insisted only that an independent investigation could uncover the truth, ensure accountability for the perpetrators, and prevent future assaults on those rendering aid while under the umbrella of heavy conflict. The heartbreaking assault on Andrea's relief workers, while profoundly disturbing, was not entirely unforeseen. Gaza has emerged as one of the most challenging theaters for humanitarian personnel during Israelis' protracted offensive to uproot Hamas militants. Arvind Das witnessed the harsh realities aid workers face in Gaza. As a team leader for the U.S.-based International Rescue Committee's response to the crisis, he had seen how the unusual assurances of safe access were disregarded. In this conflict, targeting those trying to deliver life-saving aid seemed to be the norm rather than an aberration. On January 18th, Das experienced this danger firsthand. He was part of a joint U.S.-United Kingdom medical mission operating from a residential compound in the coastal town of Almawazi. This location had been designated as a safe zone, and its coordinates shared with Israeli authorities through official channels. Yet, the unthinkable occurred. An Israeli airstrike hit the compound while Das and a group of doctors were inside. Astonishingly, they all survived, though with injuries. Das knew their fortune could have easily turned to tragedy that day. 3 months later, the Israeli military had not explained why they targeted the compound housing medical personnel. Requests for comment went unanswered, leaving Das and his colleagues to grapple with the fact that even transfer coordinates did not protect you. The targeting of aid workers was unfortunately not an isolated incident in Gaza. Arvid shared that his extensive experience in conflict zones like Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Central Africa, and Ecuador, that the situation in Gaza stood out as uniquely dangerous. Almost every international organization has faced similar threats at one point or another, he said, but it's the sustained pattern that is so deeply concerning. The dangers extended far beyond those who are trying to deliver humanitarian aid. Journalists, too, found themselves in the crossfires at an alarming rate. Since October the 7th, at least 95 journalists have been killed in Gaza, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, making this the deadliest period that has been recorded since beginning casualty tracking in 1992. Healthcare workers were also impacted. Christina Will, director of the humanitarian research group Insecurity Insight, told Time magazine that her organization had identified the location and date for at least 176 healthcare workers killed in Gaza. However, she gravely added that the true toll was thought to surpass 450. For Das and others on the ground, the sheer scale of the violence against civilian protectors and journalists laid bare the exceptionality of Gaza's humanitarian crisis. Omar Shagir, the Israel and Palestine director at Human Rights Watch, painted a grim picture of the Israeli government's actions in Gaza. There is a decades-long track record of grave violations of the laws of war, including war crimes, he told Time magazine. Shagir noted that the Human Rights Watch has documented unlawful and indiscriminate airstrikes, as well as attacks on hospitals and ambulances. It's precisely this decade of impunity for unlawful attacks and other grave abuses, including Israelis' segregation against Palestinians, that has led to the unprecedented atrocities we've witnessed over the last 6 months, he said. The deadly strike on a World Central Kitchen aid convoy has focused greater international scrutiny on how Israel has conducted the war in Gaza, now entering its 6th month. Responses from world leaders, including Israel's closest allies in the United States, United Kingdom, and Europe, described the attack as appalling. They stressed that far too many aid workers and ordinary citizens have lost their lives, and that Israel has not done enough to protect those to deliver desperately needed aid. For now, the World Central Kitchen has suspended its operations in Gaza after 7 of its workers were killed by an Israeli Defense Force attack. The International Rescue Committee sounded the alarm over the desperate, grim situation of expectant mothers and those with children in the Gaza Strip. These at-risk populations are fighting to endure dire shortfalls of food provisions, drinkable water, and medical services, all while having to deal with famine casting its menace shadow over them. Amid the crisis, the World Health Organization said it completed a highly complex mission, delivering medical aid to hospitals in northern Gaza. At the time of this recording, the Israel Defense Forces fired 2 of its officers and reprimanded others for their involvement in the strikes. Still, the World Central Kitchen charity said Israel could not be trusted to investigate its own errors in Gaza. What can we learn from this story? What's the takeaway? Typically, I offer my own words of what the story means. But this time, I'm going to let the words of Chef Jose Andreas define the learning and takeaway from a tweet he posted on April 3rd, 1 day after the bombing. The 7 angels killed on a World Central Kitchen mission in Gaza on Monday were the best of humanity. The Israeli government needs to open more land routes for food and medicine today. It needs to stop killing civilians and aid workers today. It needs to start the long journey to peace today. You cannot save the hostages by bombing every building in Gaza. You cannot win this war by starving an entire population. Well, there you go, my friends. That's life, I swear. For further information regarding the material covered in this episode, I invite you to visit my website, which you can find on Apple Podcasts for show notes, calling out key pieces of content mentioned and the episode transcript. As always, I thank you for the privilege of you listening and your interest. Be sure to subscribe here or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. See you soon.